The reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen. Morning. Thank you, Ruth. Joy and a privilege to be with you this morning. And on behalf of all at ECC, to all the mums, we appreciate you, we love you, we're praying for you. Happy Mother's Day. So here we find ourselves beginning chapter 5, our first John. And in today's passage, we come up with this key word that you'll see repeated a few times, the word overcomer. The last two verses are what I'd like to particularly focus on. So that's verses 4 and 5. And in those two verses, you'll see that word overcomer comes up three times. So just speaking on this word, overcomer, or to overcome, the Bible has a fair bit to say on this. For example, in Romans 12:21, it says, do not overcome by evil, or do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We read in Romans 8:37, no, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we find ourselves in John's Gospel, before he wrote his letters, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's found in John 16. And then in our passage today, paying particular attention to those last two verses, verses 4 and 5, we see that word, overcome, appear three times. So let's look at them. So pitch down where they are, and maybe it might come up on the screen. If not, pick up a Bible or one of your dodgy Bibles on your phone. And then you will see at verse 4 of chapter 5, it says that we are overcome by, do you see it? By being, it's not a trick question, guys. We are overcome by being born again, yeah? And then we see after that we are overcome through our faith. And then it says we are overcome through believing. That's right, good mumming. So that's how we overcome. But what's the overcoming of? To which John seems to be implying the world. So the whole context of what John is speaking into here, as Tom mentioned earlier, is that we are, as believers, overcoming the world. Or we are overcoming life and all of its trials and its attacks and its difficulties. And John here has, if you like, he's picturing the battle of the Christian soldier. Perhaps he's referring to Paul as well in that great sort of illustration that we find in Ephesians. Us as soldiers fighting this battle and overcoming and finding victory. So as we have seen so far, for the church, the main problem that they had, that they needed to conquer, was against, do you remember in our series so far, against false teachers of the day. Those that attacked the deity and the humanness of Jesus. They were attacked or they were being seduced by these false teachers who John saw as antichrists, and also under attack from the spirit of the age that was anti-Christ. And John is saying that we need to overcome these people and we need to overcome the spirit of the age. This was a time when God's people needed to hold fast to God's word. And this is what John is saying. We must be overcomers, we must be victorious, and we need to ground ourselves in the word. Not just throw out the difficult bits or the bits that are hard to understand or not relevant because of what the world was up to or what they're saying or what other teachers were doing or saying. This was the problem for the early church. They were told to hold fast to God's word. the word that was taught to them by the apostles and by John as an apostle, they were to be filled by and to rely upon not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit promised to them by Jesus. And as we think of what the challenges were of the early church, we recognise the same challenges for us today, don't we, in 2021. We too are in an age where the Antichrist spirit is at work, that is everything that is Antichrist, where Antichrist teachers are at work, and where the spirit out of the world is at work, leading people, pulling them away from Christ. He's at work trying to break up churches. He's at work trying to break up marriages. He's at work trying to break up families. He's at work trying to rob our children of everything that they have been taught. And we too, like the early church, needed to be filled not with the spirit of the world, but by the spirit of Christ. We too, in the 21st century, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of you will agree with that this morning by saying amen as you mumble it through your mouths. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be wise, as we saw. We need to be discerning that we may overcome the very real and present dangers that we are in. And that's not even to mention the very real practical issues that we face that are continually hammering our faith as we are tested financially, as we are tested emotionally, as we are tested practically, as we wake up as Christians, as we battle dismay. Because we do as Christians at times, don't we, in our faith? We battle dismay. We battle against unbelief in our race towards the crown of life. Think of what a pap year it's been so far, right? Think of the stress that comes with that. Think of the challenges that we faced over the last year during this pandemic. The question to ask is, how have we responded? How have we dug into Jesus and into his word as our faith has been challenged, as we have been challenged with being overcomers? But not so much how have we fared over the last year. Ask yourself the question today. Today is a new day. Each and every day is a new day as God pours out his grace and mercies upon his people. How will you respond today as you see in front of you the things that you are trying to overcome and the things that you are battling with? How will you respond today? How will you leave here? Will you leave here determined in your heart, come into this passage, that you are in fact a conqueror and you have been given the tools necessary to overcome whatever life throws at you because of Christ Jesus who loves you? How will you overcome what faces you? Well, I'm not here to be your life coach. I'm not good enough to do that. But let me be a signpost for my master and point you to his word. Oh, saints, let's come to his word now, knowing that it is food for hungry hearts and it is water for thirsty souls. And if that is you this morning and you know you're battling against something, whether it's unbelief, disbelief, whether it's uncertainty, whatever it might be a circumstance, come to his word and find the answers for your life as we look to the person of Jesus Christ. You know, I was encouraged in our staff meeting this week. We had a special guest join us Monday morning. His name was John Calvin, yeah? And he said to us, he said, you know, in this world, there are so many things trying to pull us away from the word, from the truth that we find in the word, as we become intoxicated by our own desires, our own plans, our own vision, our own dreams, our own hopes. We become intoxicated by the world and the spirit of the world. And isn't that such a shame? Because in here is all that we need as we look to the person of Christ, as the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. Oh, that we would be attracted to come to the word. And so as we come to the word, with that in mind, how do we overcome? As we come back to 1 John, as we come back to chapter 5, and we look at those verses 3 to 5, back to those three occurrences of overcoming. Let's look at those again. So we are overcome by being, do you remember the first one? By being born again. We see that in verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. So the outcome of that sentence is that we overcome the world. Yeah? The prerequisite is that everyone must be born again. That's right. Thank you, Tom, at the front. It wasn't set up. So this phrase, born again, is characteristic of John's writing. So think the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where Nicodemus, and you'll remember the stories, particularly the kids, you'll remember the story of Jesus meeting with Nicodemus in the night under the cover of darkness, and he begins to ask Jesus questions. And Jesus, his response isn't really even answering this question. He responds with this phrase, do you remember? I tell you the truth, that no one, hear me now, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again. So he was saying to Nicodemus, the respected scholar, this national teacher, you can go to church, you can have all of the respect of men and women, you could have achieved everything there is to achieve in life. But unless the Holy Spirit has brought new life to you, unless you have been born again, you cannot and will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So we know first and foremost that we overcome not because of anything we do, but because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Christians, we have been born again. We have been made a new creation. All of our filth, our mistakes, our offences have been paid for in full. That means in the past, the present, and the future. They've been cast away, and we have become children of God. We have been born again. And this is a wonderful, joyous thing to know, that we are born again because of Jesus, all because of Jesus. And this is the work of God. And it's because of who we are and the fact that God is no longer our judge, whose wrath and fury presides over us, but because of the cross and the gift of faith that has made us see that we were wrong and we need Jesus, and that he's called us to repentance and trust in him, that we now become his children. And we are now therefore entrusted into his care. How do I overcome the world? How do I overcome all that life throws at me? By knowing I'm born again, and knowing that I'm different now, by knowing that my identity's changed. And I belong, and you belong, if you know Christ as Lord, you belong to an awesome God and an awesome Father, and he will not let you down. Thinking that through, it reminds me of a song we sung occasionally here. Do you remember it? And you can repeat after me. You're allowed to mumble. You can do it. And when I fear my faith will fail, who will hold me fast? I think you're saying Jesus. I hope you are. When the tempter would prevail... Look. No surprises here. You've got it the first time. It's the same next time. When the tempter would prevail, who holds me fast? Those he saves are his delights, precious in his holy sight. Hear not, let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, brought by him at such a cost. Who will hold me fast? Christ will hold me fast. And I know I am a conqueror because of the one who has saved me and made me born again. So first point, we are overcome by being born again. Okay, so next one, chapter 5, verse 4. We are overcome, point 2, through our faith. So, it says here, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. I think the ESV is a bit tidier here. It says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Okay, so once again, the result is... Do you see? We've overcome the world. Okay, this is a phrase that's used 23 times in 1 John alone. And the fact that leads to the overcoming is our faith. So some people get a bit confused here, or they try and box you in by making you choose one or the other. They say, okay, Jamie, so who is it? Is it God doing the overcoming, or is it our faith? To which we say, both. They don't contradict each other or cancel each other out. It is both God that conquers and does the work, but we are also called to conquer and to exercise faith. There is a compromise to be found. Reminds me of the story of a hunter who's going through the forest with his gun, and he bumps into a bear. And the bear says, oh, Mr. Hunter, what are you doing here? And the hunter says to him, well, I'm actually out hunting for a bear because I'm looking for a new coat. And the bear says, well, that's ironic. I'm looking for someone to eat because I'm hungry. The hunter says, well, perhaps we can compromise. Let's sit down and chat about it. 30 minutes later, the gun's lying on the floor. And if you think about it, what I'm about to say, they both got what they wanted because the bear had a full tummy and the hunter had the fur coat that he wanted. So here we see that there is not a compromise that, or sorry, there is a compromise between them both. Now, a power quote for you here, power quote, is from J.I. Packer. He said, regeneration is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that raises the elect from among the spiritually dead to new life in Christ. We find that in Ephesians 2:1-10. Regeneration is a transition from spiritual death to spiritual life. And conscious, intentional, active faith in Christ is its immediate fruit, but not its immediate cause. So its immediate cause is what God has done through Christ. But its immediate fruits are these things that we do. You understand what I'm saying? The things that we do. So they're both at work, but if you like, God is the bear. Again, remember the context here. That the victory that has overcome the world and all of its problems is our faith. And the emphasis that John lays down here isn't just the factuality of our faith, the very real facts and the historical facts of Jesus and what he's done. But it's the ongoing desire to experience and walk in that faith. Active faith is obedient. How many of us know that this morning? Faith is not just only something that we place in a historical event, but it's something that does. It's a verb. It's a doing thing. We are called to be active in our faith, obedient. Faith keeps the commandments. So we see that in verses 2-3. Read with me. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Why are they not burdensome? Because they lead to life. They lead to victory. They are not burdensome. In fact, Jesus said they are easy and they are light in Matthew's gospel. They are given to us by a loving Father who is for us and with us. So that means, okay, so our active faith, how do we apply this active faith into this very real world when things are going on and things are out to take us away and pluck us away from our trust and our belief in Christ? How do we overcome that situation? And I think what John is saying here in response is by actively walking in faith. If today you are walking on a path of sorrow, walk that path by faith that the one who calls you will, according to his word, turn your sadness into dancing. If today you are walking on the load of loneliness, then dear brother or sister, walk that path each step by step by faith. It's a song. Step by step by faith that the one who loves you, the one who has said, draw near to me and I will draw close to you, is beside you on that path. If today you are walking a path of injustice, you've been treated unfairly and your character has been called into question, saints, let faith arise. The one who hears the cries of the innocent, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, is a God who defends the innocent, a God who protects the marginalized and the oppressed. Walk by faith. No one likes suffering or wants it. We're not nutters, are we? We don't go chasing after it. But when it comes, know that it is not without meaning, but it is a tool by which our faith is strengthened and our intimacy and knowledge of God is growing strong. So maybe some of you are walking through that. That's what you need to overcome today. Do so by faith. Again, I'll throw another story in. The story is of a little piece of wood. It once complained bitterly because its owner kept whittling away at it, cutting it and filling it with holes. But the one who was cutting it so remorselessly paid no attention to its complaining. He was making a flute out of that piece of wood. He was too wise to desist from doing so. Even though the wood complained bitterly, he seemed to say, little piece of wood, without these holes and all of this cutting, you would just be a purposeless stick forever. What I am doing now may make you think that I am destroying you, but instead I will change you into a flute, and your sweet music will help many people and comfort many a sorrowing heart. My cutting you is the making of you, For only through it can you be a blessing to the world. Maybe some of you are walking that path of suffering today. You're walking it through it now. You're walking with all of the world and you're trying to overcome. Overcome by faith, an active faith that trusts God's word, that loves and finds delight in God's word, that obeys God's word, that says, by faith we overcome. Be faithful to your calling. Third and finally, we overcome, verse 5, do you see it? We overcome by believing. Verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes? So once more, the result is that we overcome the world. The prerequisite is that we believe. Now, I don't want to draw too much distinction between faith and believing because they can mean one and the same thing, but in the text it does seem to draw some distinction. So, for example, the word faith in verse 4 is used here, the only place in the whole book, as a noun. Okay? So it's talking about the faith, a faith, the faith. But the word belief, usually always for John, is associated with verb. And when you put it all together, it's this active faith, it's this doing thing, it's this active believing in God. And belief, if you think of it as a sandwich, you all start getting hungry now and wanting your lunch, okay? But if you think of it as a sandwich of this passage, so it's on verse 1, do you see it on verse 1? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and then at the end, verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So this passage is sandwiched with both of those facts, with that fact that we are called to believe. So that belief is what causes us to obey. That belief is what causes us to love. This is what the book's about. That belief is what we put our faith in and causes our faith to respond in active obedience and service. Why? Because that belief is firmly planted in Jesus. This is what he's wanting us to see here. Belief is firmly planted in Jesus. It's not some mystical, abstract belief, but it's believing in and upon the person and the finished work of Jesus. So the question is not, do you believe God exists? Satan and the demons and devil worshippers believe that. Get the kids' ears pricking. The question is not only are you a good moralistic man or woman. There are many good people out there that, you know, maybe might believe God is out there in some way. But it's calling us to believe. Do you believe in Jesus and do you know him and have a relationship with him? The great Augustine said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but you believe yourself. The question asked John is, in whom do you place your belief? Because verse 1 and 5 shows us where that flows to. And that flows to the answer, which is, church, Jesus. It's like, as we wrap up, John is writing his gospel. So the gospel of John, he's writing it in order that those who have put their faith in the facts, now he's writing to them with a letter saying that those who have put their faith in the facts and come to know Jesus are called to carry on with this active believing and this active faith in who Jesus is, the sandwich bread, if you like, 1 and 5. And so this morning, I wonder if you recognize, as we consider all these things, if you recognize an area in your life where you're longing to see breakthrough. Perhaps you're on that path and you feel like the world is just hammering you. You feel like disbelief is setting in. You've got questions, maybe you're even doubting, or maybe you're just going through a particularly hard time, and you just feel it's constant, the assault is constant. We have been reminded today, as we come to God and as we bring in these areas that we need to overcome, for God to be more honoured and more evident in our life, we see from the passage today that we overcome by, one, the fact that we are born again, we belong to God, he is our Father, we are his children. Nothing can separate us from him. Know that. Number 2, we overcome by our faith. We hold firm. We trust and obey in God's word that it's going to lead us to life. And then thirdly, we overcome by believing and continuing to believe ultimately that he is who he said he is. He is the true Son of God. He is the risen one. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered everything that can be thrown at us in life, and we will one day be with him in glory. We are overcomers. You are overcomers. God's word says it. It's true. Receive it and believe it in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Father, we would pray and ask you humbly, Lord, come before you. Father, we don't want to be like the hypocrites. We don't want to be like the Pharisees that just pretend we have everything all stitched up and all together and we're perfect, because we're not. But we thank you, Lord, and we come to the one who is. We come to the one who has said that we are your children now and you are our Father. And so, Father, we come to you knowing what you have done for us, knowing what that means, that we have been born again and you have a hold of us. And even when our grip loosens on you, you will never fall, because you have a hold of us. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us born again. We are new creations and we can come to you now as your children. But Lord, we also want to be your children that have an active faith. We want to be your children that actively and truly believe in who you are and what you have said. And so we come to you this morning, bringing before you our doubts, bringing before you all of the things that we've put in your place and have made us deviate from the course you've laid out before us. And we pray that you would help our faith to rise, that you would help us to truly believe in you today, that when we leave here, we will know that we have overcome because of you and because of the strength you give us through the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, cause our faith to rise. Help us to believe in you, as Thomas called out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, may this be the call of our hearts this morning, that we may serve you better, know you more, and love you more passionately. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.